to talk about what some of the people who have written in about have questions for you. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltzer, Amato Nyamucheka, I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with our guest host, Lisa Loving. Today we'll hear from musicians from the Bush League, a group of musicians behind Running Up That Hill, Kate Bush covers for reproductive rights.
KBOO is preparing for our legendary book and record sale happening on Sunday, September 14th at the Volunteers of America building, 537 Southeast Alder Street in Portland. We're accepting donations of books, comics, LPs, CDs, DVDs, VHS, and cassette tapes, and all donations are tax deductible. Your discards are another person's treasure, and all sales benefit your community radio station, KBOO. So bring those donations down to the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, during our business hours. For more information, please contact Jesse, 503-231-8032, extension 213, or online via email, volunteer@kboo.org. That's the annual book and record sale on Sunday, September 14th.
Guantanamo Bay Prison Camp and the Louisiana State Prison at Angola, known as The Farm, both iconic images of the brutality prisoners can find locked up in the United States. Guantanamo still holds 149 men. And Albert Woodfox, the last member of the Angola Three, still lives in solitary confinement in Louisiana. In both cases, men have been cleared or convictions overturned, and still the state holds on to them. Join me, Linda Olson Osterlund, for the final episode of A Deeper Look this Thursday, August 28th at 9:30 a.m. Andy Worthington of the Guantanamo Files and Robert King of the Angola Three will join me to bring us up-to-date information and to give us a chance to take action. That's the final episode of A Deeper Look this Thursday, August 28th at 9:30 a.m. right here on KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon State Fair, Dia de la Familia, inviting you and your family to come out on Sunday, August 31st in Salem. A celebration of Latino culture, Dia de la Familia includes live Latin music, food, mariachi, ballet folklorico, face painting, and the Chemeketa Community College women's soccer team at the Kids Kick Camp.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
It's 8:04 a.m. and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio. Sitting in for Joanne Hardesty, I'm Lisa Loving. And today, the Bush League is a group of musicians behind Running Up That Hill, Kate Bush Covers for Reproductive Rights. It's designed as a fundraiser for reproductive rights organizations, low-cost abortion clinics, and other pro-choice advocates. You know, I don't mean to be weird, but I'm just going to say abortion. Isn't that a word that stresses people out in this country? What's that about? Anyway, we are live with the musician CJ Boyd and the musical ensemble, The Binary Marketing Show, on why abortion access matters. Hey, CJ Boyd, are you there?
I am, yes. Thank you, Lisa.
Welcome, sir. Welcome. And Binary Marketing Show pals, we have two of them here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
They're conjunto. They're a group. So we're not going to, you know, get into everybody's individual names. They're a force. They're a natural force. So this is kind of a radical thing that you guys did. And I believe this is the year 2014, maybe. And we're still talking about people's access to one of the most important medical procedures that is often actually a lifesaver for women, mm-hmm. On a variety of levels, but also the control that women have over their own bodies. And it does make me happy to see that there's men involved with this project. But CJ Boyd, was this your idea? What's your role here?
It was my initial idea, though I had a lot of help every step of the way from a couple of members of the Bush League who are good friends of mine and women. I guess the idea really spawned when I was traveling playing music. I was on tour, and a good friend of mine in Richmond, Virginia, who was the one who had hosted the show that I played there, very involved in the local and do-it-yourself music scene, was also part of a group called Richmond Abortion Access Fund, the Richmond Reproductive Freedom Project is the name of the group. And I got into a conversation with her, and we were both just sort of ranting about the stupidity of, as you said, still talking about this now, and especially the recent wave, I'd say like the last 3 years, this wave of legislation that's been just going all around the country trying to restrict women's right to deal with their bodies themselves. And I was inspired because she was like me. She's interested in music. She's puts a lot of effort into just putting music on, but she was also a part of this political group. I mean, this sort of grassroots group of mostly women just trying to fight this kind of legislation and this kind of war on women. And then very soon after that, I was in Cleveland, and very similar circumstances. I was talking to my good friend Amanda, who also, she was the host of my show. She was a good friend and somebody we usually talk about music and stuff, but we got into politics, and turns out she was working for a nonprofit abortion clinic called Preterm there. And I don't know, maybe just because these two things happened really close together, it sparked this idea of, okay, well, what can I do as a musician? I know that there's things that I don't know much about, there's things that I'm not good at, but music's something I'm good at and something that I'm connected to, and if I could use that as a way of getting some awareness and, more importantly, getting some funds for the groups already in place trying to fight this legislation, then it seems like that's something I should do.
All right, and so listeners, check this out. Even as we're talking, listeners, you can go to your digital device, okay, and dial up runningupthathill.bandcamp.com and look up Running Up That Hill, Kate Bush Covers. You can actually be listening to this music even as we're talking about it. And basically, this is the way it works. Actually, it's you go there. You lay some money down. You can buy it as a gift for someone. You get like a postcard or two if you want to. And then that money is, that's the pile of money that all y'all share among the people who basically, you're kind of a grant organization in a way then. How do you disperse the money, CJ?
Well, so the way you described it is correct. But the main idea is that we decided to make these postcards with digital download codes on the back and give them to any organization that wants to use them as a fundraiser, as something to sell.
And it's a beautiful image, people. I have to just, you know, I'm just going to put on my reviewer hat here. I really got lost in CJ's cover, CJ and Helena Espival, Under Ice. I got lost in that recording. It's amazing. You can go here and just start, if you're a Kate Bush fan, you could just start clicking around and, you know, checking out Babushka and all that stuff. But the images on the postcards are really gorgeous, and it's Kate Bush as tell me the name. It's like the woman in France that was the she was Joan of Arc. So it's basically Kate Bush depicted as Joan of Arc, and I don't mean to be weird, but even your mom would probably like that. And so I'm just encouraging people to go there, even as we talk about it. So CJ was just talking about how the money piece works. And CJ, what I hear you saying is basically, as a musician, you've traveled around the country and basically met other people and started chatting at your gigs or after your gigs, and this is the issue on the table. We dialed up the Washington Post and the Washington Post story. All states except Oregon now limit abortion access, right? Roe v. Wade guaranteed abortion as a legal right across the country. A separate decision 2 decades later, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, guaranteed states' rights to limit access to abortion so long as it did not pose an undue burden on the woman. But it looks like that is exactly what's happening. And This is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio. We are talking about abortion access right now. And in a minute, we're going to talk to our super cool local pals, the Binary. Let's just call them the Binary, or TVMS. And we're going to talk with them about their piece. But listeners, what the hell happened with abortion access? And what should we be doing about it? You know, if you want to call in and ask questions or put your piece of this on the table, 503-231-8187. I want to go to the Binary. You guys, talk about how you guys got involved. I mean, to me, this is literally a do-it-yourself revolution. Yeah. So who wants to start?
Well, CJ is a good friend of ours. We've toured around and randomly played shows with CJ in various cities throughout the U.S., sometimes knowing, sometimes not knowing. And he was organizing this group together and asked us if we would like to be a part of it, and we're like, sure, we can come up with a cover. And he actually recommended the song that we did, Deeper Understanding.
Yeah, that's a huge one. It's a really big deal.
Yeah. And it kind of resonates, I think, that song does with us on multiple levels, but definitely because it comes from like a time period where you know, like I knew a lot of people who were confused and you know, would turn to computers at the time to try to make contact with people, you know, that weren't in their local vicinity as a means of just, you know, trying to find support. So yeah, we covered that song and made that as a contribution.
Why Kate Bush?
I think she is huge for just doing her own thing and not conforming to what women are supposed to be in music in the mainstream media realm. I mean, she got pretty big for being so strange. But I think that she's a really powerful voice for women, but not just women, for people that are doing things that aren't acceptable most times or sometimes, but to push ideas that may not be so out there.
I'm seeing something online that says too that she is returning to the stage after 35 years, so she's making a comeback as well. And she's 56 years old. Yeah, there are people from my generation that have been looking at this issue forever. And so we are talking with a group of young people, male and female young people, who got together and have created a funding mechanism for people all over the United States who would care to raise money for access to abortion rights, clinics, advocacy, whatever, which I just think is a fascinating thing to do. And it is runningupthathill.bandcamp.com. Listeners, what the heck? I mean, what do you think? What should we be doing around this issue? And would you actually push this recording around? I just think this is a brilliant grassroots idea. And of course, call us the number to call, 503-231-8187. 877, what the hell happened with abortion access and what should we be doing about it? We do have a caller. James is on the line. James, what do you think?
Good morning. Hey. I just wanted to bring out the point that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a Nazi eugenicist and brought the abortion issue up as a means to abolish the black race.
Right on, James. Thanks for calling and putting that one on the table. And can I just take 1 minute and pull off my shoe and squish that bug? Okay, Margaret Sanger, that was 100 years ago, y'all. Now we're talking about 2014.
Yeah.
I don't care whether you like Planned Parenthood now or not. By the way, if you don't like Planned Parenthood, you should be glad because they have been pushed out of almost everywhere. So I'm not even sure, James, what the hell you're talking about, although that's a canard people keep bringing up.
Yeah.
So, and if anybody else wants to call up and complain about Planned Parenthood, thanks a lot for missing the point of what we're talking about today. I guess I'm a little cranky. So what the heck, though, with the abortion rights thing? Do we have another caller on the line? Okay, so the number to call, 503-231-8187. Do you think that the entire abortion access movement got derailed with cheap little politics like that? Because obviously,
yes.
I mean, I'm saying that.
Yeah.
And I know people of color that will come around with that, and I want to be respectful of your opinion. And yeah, Margaret Sanger, bad guy, whatever, but this is 100 years later, okay?
Yeah.
And so now we're dealing with our own health right now. And as we all know, if you don't make, seriously, straight-up abortion available, people are going to do extreme things to find one or to get one. And always the rich people will always be able to do that, but the poor people are not. So, and do we have a caller on the phone? Barb, do we have Barb on the phone?
It's Barth.
Barth, awesome, Barth. Thank you. Sorry I was so grouchy with James.
Oh, I can get over it.
Okay.
Sometimes James needs a little grouch.
I'm sorry, James.
His points are interesting in a historical perspective, but they don't really matter in this issue, I don't think. The ability for reproductive choice is being clamped down upon all over the country, and anything that promotes Kate Bush is good with me anyway. I have daughters, you know, I have sisters. I think that this is a really fundamental issue, and it's funny that it's almost fading from the current dialogue about life in general. So I'm happy this group has come forward and thought of a creative way to raise the issue, to raise some money, and to raise some consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all great things I think Kate Bush would approve.
Maybe you guys will meet her. Well, thanks for calling, Barth.
You bet. Bye.
This is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio, sitting in for Joanne Hardesty. I'm Lisa Loving. We're here with the Bush League, as we call it, a group of musicians from all over the country that got together and created a funding project that they're just giving away to people who are advocates for women's health, advocates for abortion rights. Anymore, we're seeing that. Well, so James called and dumped a bunch of junk on Planned Parenthood. I'm looking at you and saying that's one of the only places young people can go and get real free birth control.
Yeah.
And that's why it's such a big deal that people are always calling and playing that the Margaret Sanger card. Last I checked, the United States of America was founded by a group of homicidal maniacs, but it's where we live and it's what we have now, okay? And it's not, I don't mean to be a weirdo about it and disrespectful, because I do want to respect people's religious beliefs. If you don't believe in abortion, don't get one, and don't get people pregnant. Okay, I'm just putting that out. So, and by the way, so the question we have on the table is what the hell happened with abortion access and what should we be doing about it? We're talking about running up that hill Kate Bush covers for reproductive rights. Later on, we'll talk a little bit about how the Binary Marketing Show is going to be performing, I think, tonight.
Yes.
You can go check them out, meet them in person. But the number to call, if you've got, you know, people, I would love to brainstorm about this issue, because these young people got together and they actually built a tool that people can use, and that's brilliant. And I'd love to hear if anybody has other ideas, and I'll try to talk more slowly. 503 231 8187. What should we be doing about abortion access here in our state, which is the only state where people have theoretically more legal access? But we'll also, we need to talk about the economics of that. Mm-hmm. Because in some ways, what we're finding in the modern age is the things that political movements could not achieve, the economy is achieving, good or bad. That's like cannabis legalization, marriage equality. I think the economy has shaped that. But people in Oregon still do not have de facto access to abortion specifically rights because so many, there's so many places in the state where there are no clinics,
yeah.
No clinics that serve women. So we have people from Eastern Oregon, people who are coming here to try to get that care. So what's that about? We have a couple of callers. Let's go to the phone lines. Joanne, what are you thinking about today?
Oh, Lisa, darling, I want to say so much, but I don't have the energy, and you folks don't have the time. And, yeah, this lack of abortion access is, the words, it's so wrong and so out of touch with life and reality. But anyway, I'm going to say a few words, and you and us will probably want to throw old computers or old cell phones at me and say I'm backwards or something. But I'm going to say, but I'm glad these folks are doing it because it's so badly needed. But okay, here's what I'm going to say and get off the phone. I think it is beautiful work for abortion access or rights. But, here I go, I do not like doing it by technology. Mm. I want it to be done naturally, not mechanically, but thank you for the program and the work.
All right. Thank you, Joanne. Joanne, I always love when Joanne calls because to me, she puts some of the hottest pots on the table. And Joanne, I'm just going to say that speaking as someone who works at a newspaper, the technology thing breaks my heart every day, every time I go to work. And sometime, let's do a show about newspapers and news and media and what it means that you have to have batteries or electricity to access it. Because I agree with you. I agree with you about the technology thing. Now let's go to CJ for a second, though. Because CJ, from what I understood that you said was you have these postcards with a code on them that people can use. You don't completely necessarily have to have a computer. CJ, can you talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of your vision of how this works?
Sure, yeah. Well,
postcards are analog. Go ahead.
What's that?
Postcards are analog. So Joanne can hold a postcard in her hand. Keep going, though.
Music is digital, unfortunately. If for those who are against technology, I myself think that technology should be watched, but I don't know if I don't know what it would mean to really be without it. I mean, I'm talking on a phone.
Yeah.
We're on the radio. These are technological advancements. I mean, so are buttons. I think so is the printing press. So the way this works really is that I put up the money to screen print these postcards.
There's five different designs of postcards. They're kind of cool. Keep going.
And then my good friend Drew from Monkey Ink Design actually did a lot of the work of designing and printing with help from us and other friends. My friend James in Houston also helped quite a bit, and we made the postcard, and then we just give the postcard to groups that want to use them as fundraisers, and then the initial money that comes from the website was meant to cover the printing costs, and then everything beyond the printing costs will also be donated. And you asked before about how to dole out that money. So each group that sells its own postcards just gets to keep whatever money they make.
The different groups, like the clinic, the Northeast Clinic, or if they wanted, could get the postcards, and then they do it themselves. You're literally taking it and you're putting it in people's hands.
Yeah.
Right. And then whatever, like at this point, we've covered the cost of the printing, so all excess money will be donated to, there's a website, there's an organization called the National Network of Abortion Access Funds, which is a more broad organization that helps many, many abortion access funds all over the country. So we sort of thought, rather than play favorites and give it to one organization, give the excess money to one organization that was from our many grassroots organizations, we figured we'd give it to this one that's a little bit more of an umbrella that's sort of distributing funds to all of them.
Mm. In a little while, I'm just really gratified, you guys, that there's so many dudes involved. And I can remember when I was your age, and I'm just really old. When I was your age, it seems like it was all women.
Yeah.
And it was multi-generations of women. And we used to sit around and go, God, when are men going to get involved? And thank you. Thank you. That is a form of evolution. Yeah. We do have another caller. And we've got BJ on the phone. What's going on, man? Hey, BJ.
Oh, are you talking to me?
No, there's a caller.
That's
oh,
it.
Okay. So we think that the caller maybe fell asleep, so maybe he will perk up or what have you. So,
Lisa.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to say, in with regard to your last comment, it is something that I don't want to speak for Abram there, but I know for me, it is a difficult balance to strike, because I think all the men involved in this recognize that this is, of course, it is a feminist issue. Fundamentally, that it's we're talking about a bunch of mostly white men in power taking away the rights of women to decide how to handle their lives, and so it is a feminist issue. The caller that called just a little bit ago said, you know, he has sisters, he has daughters, he has mothers. So, I mean, no, I don't know any men who live in a total vacuum from women. And I don't know how you can be a man and not care about the women in your lives and their ability to make independent decisions. But, I mean, that is the thing. My good friends who are in this project with me, Dana and Molly, you know, we talked a lot about how men should be involved, because I wanted to be involved. I also don't want to speak for women. I think it's really important that the men in this don't just sort of railroad the women out of it and try to, like, speak for them, because that's exactly the problem we're dealing with, is that men in political positions are attempting to make decisions for and speak for women that are perfectly capable of doing that themselves. So it is a strange balance. I mean, I think in terms of the musical contributors, it's pretty split. There's, like, just as many women as there are men, or vice versa. And that was a really nice thing. That just sort of happened that way. That didn't really have to be created that way. It just sort of happened. But I would say that's been an ongoing dialogue between my partner in Bush League, Dana, and I, you know, sort of like, okay, well, I'm maybe in a better position to speak about a lot of things with regard to the project, but I'm also a guy, and I don't want to sort of push out women's voices in this, because I think that's what's really important too. So it really should be both. I think it as long as it's something that affects us both and we live in a world together, it should be men and women talking about it. But like I said, we just try to balance that.
We should invoke Dana Lower. She is your partner in this project, and she is the one who set up this interview, and she's not on the air with us, but she's obviously an amazingly dynamic person. And is she in California? You guys are all over the place. That's one of the things that I think is so great. I've heard people express frustration over the new trends of crowdfunding, and yet, I mean, in the absence of, I mean, back in the day, as we sat there and just tapped our feet and screamed and waited for the federal government to hand money down, it's like there's going to be a workaround one way or another. This recording, I think it was rolled out in March 25th of this year. It's been out there for a little while. And so I really just, again, I want to encourage people to go to runningupthathill.bandcamp.com and check it out. This is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio. We are talking live with musicians CJ Boyd, you just heard his voice, and musical ensemble The Binary Marketing Show, which is here in Portland, on why abortion access matters and how they all came together with, looks like dozens of people were involved in this project to create a funding tool for people providing women's reproductive health all over the country. They get to control it. And we have a couple callers. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. BJ, hey man, what's going on?
Yeah, I talked to you the first time when you were testing the waters at about 4 in the afternoon. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
About a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest one way to learn about, and I'm not going to stay off the subject, I'm right on the subject, is to speak slowly and then fastly. And that way you can counteract it, and pretty soon you'll be in the middle. Not too slow, like the guys you got on the air there. They're pretty slow.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, now, fair
I've
enough.
I've lived a long time, so just learn from my lessons. I don't take sides.
Okay.
I'm not on the right, left, what have you. I have been on both, though. I was a Republican for years.
What do you
One
think
of the
about,
problems yeah. is the weather. The weather is an indication. Hurricanes, typhoons, storms, earthquakes. We just had a severe earthquake in an area I used to live in, Napa, California. It completely destroyed my wine collection.
Okay.
That's a long-run joke, but I want to tell you.
BJ, what do you think about this issue of the reproductive health? What do you think?
I do think that we need to slow it down. China's worked on it, and they worked on 1.5. They take a permit, one child, and then they go for 1.5 now, maybe. Because that's because they're building up their army to defend themselves from us.
It's true, they're
changing. All we're
going to
do is produce cannon fodder. You guys know what cannon fodder is. I was in Vietnam.
All right,
it's
PJ.
It's when the guy next to you gets his head blown off. It's when the people are dying all around you, the word, once your friends you went through training with. That's what it is.
I'm so sorry that happened to you,
I don't want babies to become cannon fodder or children. You need to be strong and have the children to come in to get educated. Get an education. Get food. You need food. Holistic food, hopefully, like stores here.
BJ, let me ask you a question. It sounds like you've been to this rodeo a couple times.
Well, I'm an old guy.
I'm an old guy, too. What do you think that
I
we should be
doing?
I
don't want to see being after, you know, the Middle East redone again into what happened in Asia. Go ahead.
No, what do you think happened with the whole movement for reproductive health in this country, though? Because we had a strong movement 20 years ago, and now, as we already talked about, Oregon's the only state where there's no restrictions on women's access to abortion. What do you think happened there? What was the turning point, BJ?
Lobbyists. 1,800 lobbyists alone, yeah. Just on certain issues. Those guys get a brand new Lincoln Continental and $100,000 a year. They bought out for the money.
I think you're right. Hey, BJ, we got to cut you loose. Wow, it's a pleasure talking with you.
I love you guys, and it isn't the money.
All right. Thank you.
And stay away from that. It's the happiness that you did something for not only the United States, but for the planet Earth.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
We're not going to be here long. We'll look like Mars unless we do work on these issues.
You know what? BJ's right. This issue touches a whole lot of stuff. And thank you so much for calling. That was awesome. You know, you do sit there and look back and think about all the different streams that weave into this one thing, which is, it really is about, you know, we've known women that died because they couldn't get this procedure. We've known that women who died who maybe wanted even to have the child, but you knew that it was a health problem. It's like when you allow this political intersection into a health issue, and I think BJ's probably right, it's the lobbyists, my God. Anyway, this is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio. Sitting in for Joanne Hardesty, I'm Lisa Loving, working on speaking more slowly, okay, no matter how much coffee I've had. And listeners, we want to bring your voices in here too. I mean, so we have this group of young people. They've actually created a tool for clinics and advocates to get funding for their work around women's reproductive health, and especially abortion, specifically abortion rights. It's such an uncomfortable word to say. It's interesting. I cringe every time I say it. Yeah. And yet it's a medical procedure, just like appendectomy, a little different than an appendectomy. But listeners, what do you think was the turning point in how this happened with reproductive rights? And what do you can you think of other projects that people could be doing? This is crowdfunding in a way, very grassroots. What are your other ideas? And 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Let's go to the phone line. We've got Kelly on the line. Kelly, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Hi. So I'm coming to you as a woman, a sister, a daughter, a friend. I actually had an unplanned pregnancy in my early 20s. And I ended up keeping the baby, and he's 8 years old now, and amazing. But,
cool.
Yeah. Something that I just have a disconnect on is reproductive rights. That's such a broad term. And when I think about that, I think that we're kind of missing the point on getting getting to the people before they need an abortion. I mean, that should be the last thing that we're thinking of. I know it's important, but what I'm worried about is the fact that I don't feel that we have access to the birth control and to helping people before they have to make that decision. I feel like I feel choice is made when we choose to, you know, have intercourse. You know, that's when the choice starts. And I feel like people aren't making educated choices when they're having sex. They're not using the birth control. They're not, you know, using a method that will work for them because they don't have access there. And they're, you know, not making educated choices in that matter. So I know that abortion is always going to be here. We're always going to need access to it. But I don't necessarily see that. That's down the line in your choices. I believe the first choice is, you know, deciding to have sex. When you know you're going to have sex, deciding to use a birth control method if you want to use one. So I just feel like we should definitely. I love your passion. I love hearing you talk about it and get excited. But I would love to hear more passion in our country for helping women get birth control. And I just think abortion is doing the horse before the cart.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me know that. And I appreciate what you're saying. Earlier in this hour, we did talk about Planned Parenthood as one of the only places you can go anymore in Oregon and actually get access to birth control. Here we have a state where a lot of people don't even know how to read. So the basic education piece. And Kelly, here's something that's changed too from 20 years ago when we talked about there's a couple things that are different in the past generation of this movement. At first, we were specifically talking about abortion rights 20 years ago because we had all these clinics that were blockaded by right-wingers. When women wanted to go in and get a procedure, they literally had to endure harassment and sometimes physical harassment. Now, in the more modern age, and this goes more to your point, especially in Texas, a lot of these movements in the other states are totally against birth control itself. Martin Luther King's niece, Alveda, she actually leads what they describe as civil rights marches against birth control of any kind in some of the southern states, which always shocks me. But reproductive rights, it is a broad term, and I'm just using the abortion word today to freak people out. You're right, there's a little bit of show business there, but it's true that I think that even just the most basic at Planned Parenthood itself, and the guy called, James called, the first caller of the day, demonizing Planned Parenthood, they do so much stuff. They do, they even do stuff for men,
but they do
pap smears, all the entire range of women's health,
yeah.
All that with these clinics that are being attacked and defunded, especially in other states, all that has all that impacts women's health. And I think we're even talking about cervical cancer screenings. But Kelly, the thing that I wanted to get to, and I'm so glad you called, and I'm excited about your kid. I love kids. Kids bless a house, whatever. But there, in Oregon, the statistics are showing that there's fewer teen pregnancies and that the teen birth rate is down. That was one of the big issues 20 years ago.
Man.
So I'm taking your words very seriously, and thinking of the wide range of nobody really advocates abortion. Nobody is saying, "Oh, it's great, go have one."
Yeah.
it really does go to the point of educating our young people and letting everyone have the kind of education of how our bodies work and what birth control does, because we know that in that itself, you're right, Kelly. Actually, just the access of birth control and understanding what birth control is and hooking young people up with it is the more basic issue that is gigantic all over the country. And so thank you for calling, Kelly. And I love people telling their stories about when they had their kids or it was an unexpected pregnancy. My daughter was an unexpected pregnancy too, and I love her so much. I mean, that goes to the issue of abortion access, birth control, reproductive health. It's not one monolithic thing. Every person that comes to the table has a different issue or a different way of looking at it, and that means the men as well. And this is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio. We are live in the studio. We're live with musicians CJ Boyd and musical ensemble The Binary Marketing Show on their project, Running Up That Hill, Kate Bush Covers for Reproductive Rights. And Kelly, I want to go to the Bandcamp page just to be crystal clear about who this project wants to benefit.
This compilation of Kate Bush cover songs is a fundraising tool for reproductive rights organizations, low-cost abortion clinics, and other pro-choice advocates. So however we define that, I think abortion itself is important to pull out because it can be an issue of life and death for the mom. Okay, I just do feel, I feel that's important. But Kelly's point about birth control itself being the first step, and that's the most important thing to ring that bell, I respect what she's saying. And I want to ask CJ, Binary, you guys want to jump in? You guys are waking up. We're all waking up, okay?
I'd love to jump in, actually. I want to address, I guess, two things about what Kelly said. I absolutely agree. And as you pointed out, being pro-choice doesn't mean being pro-abortion. It means letting women make those choices as they see fit. And of course, that doesn't just include abortion. That's part of why we called the compilation Kate Bush Covers for Reproductive Rights. It's not, I mean, you said it's 2014. It is ridiculous that we're still dealing with basically enforcing Roe v. Wade. It's even more ridiculous that we're still having to fight for the right to contraception. I mean, that's ridiculous. I can't even believe it when I say it out loud that we're doing that. That people are saying you shouldn't even be able to get birth control. But I mean, the more fundamental thing here, I think, that ties these two things together is we are a country that we have absolutely, as you said, we're founded by homicidal maniacs. There is something there about the separation of church and state that I really think is important, that needs to not be lost. And the idea that because of your religious beliefs you don't think you should have contraception, that's your business. And if more power to you if you think that makes sense for you. But the idea of legislating that is unconstitutional and it is unjust. And I guess the issue there that I think is bigger that I really want to focus on here for a second is that regardless, absolutely people should be educated. But one of the things in that education is not vilifying sex, is not turning sex into some evil act that, I mean, I really, it makes me cringe when people say, well, if you didn't want to have a kid, you shouldn't have had sex. Of course, sex and reproduction are connected. We know that. I mean, that should be absolutely part of our education. But I hate listening to this, and I'm not saying Kelly was saying this by any means, but I think
kind of like Kelly. I want to hug Kelly, yeah, but keep going. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I'm not speaking against Kelly. I'm just saying sometimes people say that, of course, your choice does start with sex. I absolutely agree with that. Maybe even starts before that in some cases, right? But we make choices all the time, and there's no reason that in this day and age that we should treat the choice to have sex as some kind of
sin,
awful thing that you did, and that now because you did this bad thing, you have to deal with the consequences. That's a weird way to think about sex, and it's a weird way to think about kids. It's a weird thing to think that your kid is somehow your punishment for not thinking too much beforehand and having sex before you were married or something. So I absolutely agree with Kelly about that reproductive rights does include knowing what the options are all along the way and not just jumping into an abortion. From all the women I've ever talked to, well, not all, but most women that I've talked to that have had abortions, it's not a pleasant experience. Nobody's, like you said, nobody's saying everybody should have one. Our bigger point is just that, well, that's up to you, and if that's something you need or want, that should be your choice and not something legislated for you.
You know, the other piece of that, BJ, that Kelly did not bring up, but she kind of alluded to, years ago, one of the issues that we saw with some of the, we'll say, pro-choice organizations was that there was a concern from communities of color that they felt their choices to have kids as teenagers were not honored by the pro-choice organizations. And I do believe personally that when we're talking about reproductive rights, the choice to have a baby is included in that too. There are definitely people who they face these obstacles of even once they have kids, like they don't get the support of the kids. And I feel like that's part of it too. It goes back to the sort of like wacky comments that BJ was making. And at first I was like, BJ's talking about the weather, right? But I feel that the point he's making is that the bigger goal is we want to have healthy communities and period. Yeah. That's really the point. And I actually think that's where Kelly's coming from too.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. And I'm psyched about her kid and I'm psyched about my daughter too. So
I think you're right though. Like if you're able to limit someone's ability to do something to themselves, then like, you know, if someone can't get access to an abortion, then it's as easy to say, well, then you can't have a child because you're limiting those freedoms, and that freedom goes for everybody. So.
Right. And also, you know, as long as we're talking about, you know, reproductive rights, we're embracing everyone's choices to have kids. I think, you know, I like kids.
Yeah.
I like them. Anyway, I like happy families too. And anyway,
Lisa, can I also just throw in here, just to be really specific, one of the groups, there are groups all around the country that are benefiting from this compilation, and they actually represent a pretty wide gambit of the kind of what we mean by reproductive rights organizations. One of the groups in Oakland, California is called Advocates for Youth, and they're not an abortion clinic. They are an educational program for teens that is an attempt to sort of get past the moralizing of sort of like abstinence through Christianity, but just actually teach teens about sex realistically, not to scare them, but to inform them completely so that they can make intelligent choices. And that includes teaching kids about abortion, about in general, contraception, birth control. But it's a wide-ranging program that's just trying to take the religion out of sex ed and talk to teens who are at risk for being pregnant, so that whatever choices they make, they're informed. And I think it's a really great program. It's one of the ones that I was excited to have on board because it does make the project we're doing wide in its scope. We absolutely wanted to make sure we weren't just funding only abortion clinics, even though I think they are in dire need of funding. There's other programs that are part of this, and we wanted to make sure that this project represented the sort of wide spectrum.
And then it gets out there. So what I hear you saying is, if we have like a local teen clinic or even a school clinic that's doing some of this work, they can get a bunch of these postcards and do their own fundraiser. That's what I hear you saying.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll be darned. Right. I'll be darned. Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and we have a couple callers, but listen, people, we've got like 15 minutes left this show, maybe a little bit more. If you're doing some kind of project educating young people about birth control, reproductive rights, or anything like that, we kind of want to hear from you now. Well, I'd love to hear what you're doing. There's probably a lot of people doing stuff that we just don't know. Did you know there's fewer reporters on the ground than there's ever been in history? Anyway, call us with your interesting project because we'd like to hook you up with runningupthathill.bandcamp.com. I really want to encourage people to go there. We hadn't even really had a chance to talk much about the artist that much, but we do have a couple callers. 503-231-8187. We've got Dave on the phone. Dave, what's going on?
Yes, I've been listening to this. I had a couple points, but the one the lady on there mentioned about the people outside of abortion clinics that are trying to stop it, and she called them right-wingers, right?
I think that was me. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, that's the wrong term. They're pro-life. That's the name that they've used. And when you check these pro-life people, you'll find when it comes to the death penalty, they're for the death penalty. Even if an innocent person gets caught up in it, you know, and is framed, you know, it still benefits our society by killing all these bad people. So they're not really pro-life, but yet they've been able to throw this term out.
Yeah.
And when the average person hears that, I mean, the average, the uninformed, middle-of-the-road person.
We can even talk about young people, because some of this has to do with teenagers. When they hear that, what do they think?
Right. They think that, oh, if they're pro-life, then anybody else that's against them must be what? Pro-against life? No. And then one other point is they do a study. There was a study in Newsweek, or that this was 7 years ago or so, where they took the states that were the most favorable to people having the choice, and then they took another survey of what states spend on children from the age 1 to 5, and every state that was totally anti-abortion, they spend nothing on kids from 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. And this, it just goes to a point that I think the one guy was talking about on there.
Yeah, well, BJ, anyway, who was totally fascinating. He did pull it all together. Yeah.
But his point about the cannon fodder and people for our prisons, we need a certain amount of people to keep the prison system going. And cheap labor, these all go towards. And I don't even think that the people that are, you know, the pro-life people, I don't even know if they're conscious of how they're being, so that this is what they're causing, is a bunch of unwanted children, you know?
Yeah, to talk about manufacturing what people have called before the permanent underclass. And Dave, you're pointing to the language is really fascinating and worthy. And I, just because you brought it up, I want to say that I went over to opensecrets.org, and the top lobbyists against abortion rights specifically that use the A word, abortion rights, are what's called the Susan B. Anthony List, Right to Life, National Pro-Life Alliance, Republican National Coalition for Life. And it's so funny because Susan B. Anthony was an early feminist. So that is, Dave, going to your point completely.
All right.
Corrupting that entire message. Although I couldn't say if Susan B. Anthony was for, you know, that or not. I really don't. I actually don't know if Susan B. Anthony was for birth control or what kind of birth control was available at that time. Although birth control has always existed, no matter how ineffective it may have been or not been. But Dave, thank you so much for calling. Excellent points. And I want to go to binary and say, you were sort of chiming in there about, like, what do people know? What do young people know about the language that they hear? Can you talk about what you're
thinking? I just think that there is a lack of education for birth control, but also just about sex at all, or making it something that's scary or terrible.
It's all over TV. Pregnancy kits are easy to get at the store, but we can't talk about one versus the other.
Yeah, and especially for girls. I wish it wasn't that way, but just it's demonized for women to have sex. Just like, you know, when you talk about birth control, it makes people think like, oh, I don't want to support someone that's sleeping around, so I don't think that I'm for birth control. And it's like, that is not the case at all. It's like, it can be used for so many things, but also it's about like privacy and education. It's like, it's none of your business what I'm doing with my body or what you're doing with yours. If it's not harming me, what you're doing, what does it matter? But it's just like educating our young people has proven in statistics to stop people from getting abortions or having that as the last resort.
Back to Kelly's point, when people know how their body works, then they are just healthier.
So the abortion goes down, teen pregnancies go down.
And it is down, by the way, but still, I'm not sure if overall women's health is great or not.
Well, access is not that great if you don't have a certain income. But that's something else that we need to educate ourselves on, and we can come together as people that may not have that much money, but we have resources like technology or, you know, just communicating with each other in our communities to educate ourselves and educate ourselves on what is available around us to, you know, help people get access to birth control or just sex education at all.
You know, and that kind of goes back to the point. Now, Joanne, Joanne made this point of, you know, why does it always have to be electric? That's what I hear her saying when she's saying, you know, I'm worried about technology.
And it
why does it have to be a computer or a this or that? And let's just for 1 second talk about this project again. It's getting towards the end of the hour, but we're going to go over the hour a little bit because our beloved sister is going to be late. Oh, never mind. Actually, it looks like our beloved sister just walked into the door. So this is KBOO Community Radio. This is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio. Sitting in for Joanne Hardesty, I'm Lisa Loving. We're talking with C.J. Boyd and the musical ensemble, The Binary Marketing Show, on this project they did that gives local communities all over the country, local institutions, the opportunity to do fundraisers for their own projects on reproductive health, whether it's high schoolers learning how their body works or whether it's an abortion clinic. And it's called Running Up That Hill. Kate Bush covers for reproductive rights. Kate, if you're out there, hugs. runningupthathill.bandcamp.com. I think that people should be dealing that out, and where you know that there are people that are doing projects dreaming about doing some kind of event to educate young people, I think that this is the number. And we have a couple callers. Let's try to get them in before the end of the show. Ren, what's going on? Are you there? Ren?
Is it Lynn?
Oh, Lynn, I couldn't hear the... Okay, Lynn, what's going on?
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for the show. Anybody who does anything with Kate Bush is fine with me. What I hope is that part of this funding doesn't have to go for armed guards to keep people in these clinics that work there alive.
Yeah.
One of the huge issues to me is that with folks that are opposed to a woman's right to choose, is that they can't seem to get legislation, so they're killing them, killing the providers. And there's been way too much of that. It's sort of funny. It's like save the fetus and throw the child away also, but we won't go to that. Anyway, that's what I really hope doesn't have to happen. And I do believe Susan B. Anthony was in favor of all women's rights.
Right on. Susan B. Anthony.
As far as I know.
And thank you for calling, Lynn. The magical engineering pixie chimes in and says that the buffer zones are gone now.
Yeah,
that was the Supreme Court earlier this year. Thank you so much for calling. And we have another caller. Let's try to get the last caller in. Melody, what's going on? Melody.
Hi. Well, I look forward to a time when this argument will be taken out of pro or not pro-choice.
I think, me too.
Now, don't we have a bigger picture? Do individuals have any responsibility towards society or to building the human race? And how does this fit into our involvement as humanity? I think women always have a choice. At some point in the game, it is a choice. And to reduce their choice to whether or not they should have an abortion is very limiting. And it doesn't really say they're very empowered if they've reached that point in the game.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Melody. We're running out of show. God, I wish you had called a little earlier because those are tough questions that you're asking, and we probably would have chomped on them a little bit. We're running out of show. Is there one more caller that we could... Susan's on the line. Susan, really quickly, what you got?
Two comments. One is, I think you asked about why things had changed, and I think it's really just been the people on the right working in that legislative way and maybe other people being a little bit of asleep after Roe v. Wade. And I appreciate the involvement of everyone. And then the other comment is the lack of healthcare workers moving into this field, physicians providing this service. So even in places where there are not the legal barriers, there are sometimes healthcare physician provider shortages. Just thought I'd call that out. That's true.
Thank you so much for calling. So we are running out of show. I want to hand the microphone back to CJ and say, CJ, really briefly, what's the most important thing people need to know about Running Up That Hill, Kate Bush covers for reproductive rights? What's the most important thing people need to know?
Well, you pointed to it earlier, and I appreciate it. Basically, I mean, we've still got postcards, and we're still in the process of doling those out. And if people are involved in their local communities, if they've got whatever it is that's tied to reproductive rights, they should get in touch with us and let us know, and we will send them postcards. And that's what we're doing.
Great.
So
I'm going to give them that.
That's what they're there for.
Cool. I'm going to give them that that URL before we go off the air. You guys, you have some final last word. Binary Marketing Show is going to be at Last Thursday on Alberta Tonight. I'm going to go.
Yes.
Anything else? What, you know?
I just think it's great. CJ, thanks for involving us in this. And we look forward to helping raise money and awareness for people, women, and just families, you know, all the people that need help out there with healthcare.
And that's it for our show. Thanks to our guests, CJ Boyd and Binary Marketing Show. More on their project at runningupthathill.bandcamp.com. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Kush, the studio dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of today. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on this show. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for Political Perspectives. Teresa Mitchell.
I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an art that deserves gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on, get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Sky. Take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours on earth. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights.
Good people, we at Guess Who's Coming to Radio are back with our annual celebration of teacher Michael Jackson. On Thursday, August 28th, from 8 p.m. to midnight, we will be exploring previously unreleased works, guest spots, words of wisdom from the teacher, as well as a conversation with Talib York of the tribute band Who's Bad. Stay tuned on August 28th from 8 to midnight, where we honor Michael Jackson on Guess Who's Coming to Radio on KBOO, your community radio.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. It is now 9 o'clock. Stay tuned for Press Watch. Coming up this morning on KBOO, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, Linda Olson Osterlin hosts a final deeper look program on Guantanamo and Albert Woodfox of the Angola 3 with guests Robert King and Andy Worthington. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints, Haiti and the attempts to implicate former President Jean-Pétion Aristide in a corruption scandal, and Nora Barrow.